I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
Israel says it will retaliate to Iran's unprecedented and unsuccessful missile and drone attack. Iran's foreign minister saying its response to future action from Israel will be, quote, immediate and severe. In multiple American cities yesterday, pro-Palestinian protesters took to the streets, blocking traffic from the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco to New York to demand a ceasefire.
House Speaker Mike Johnson unveiled a Republican-led foreign aid package yesterday. According to three sources familiar with the process, the legislation would include three aid measures with roughly tens of billions of dollars for Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan, and allies in the Indo-Pacific.
The U.S. Supreme Court is allowing Idaho's ban on gender-affirming care for minors to be enforced.
This morning, the heavy lift of selecting a jury to hear what's likely to become one of the most high-profile cases in history labors on. The judge publicly warning Mr. Trump his attendance at trial now mandatory, and if he doesn't show up, a warrant will be issued for his arrest, but was noncommittal about granting Mr. Trump a day off next month to attend his son's high school graduation.
U.S. Supreme Court takes up a case that could have a major impact on Trump's federal election interference case, and its decision could end up throwing out charges against hundreds of defendants from the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
Apparently, the district attorney's office has filed a written motion, so they have made it official to try and hold Donald Trump in contempt for violating the gag order that was put onto him by the judge. There were three allegations that the state made yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily here live, Washington, D.C. Today is April 16th, 2024, Anno Domini. Lawfare. Everyone must understand that the Lawfare project is in full swing. You think the political process is where this plays out anymore? No. This plays out in the courtrooms. This plays out with lawyers. This plays out with the judicial process. When the unhumans have taken over institution after institution after institution, and they realize that they're not going to win at the ballot box, what do? They sick the institution on you. They send the Department of Justice after you. They send the Alvin Braggs of the world after you, the Juan Merchans, the Letitia Jameses. These are the people who come after you, the Andrew Weissmans. I'll give you a great example of this. We're going to be talking with Julie Kelly later. I sat and listened to a lot of the J6 oral arguments at the Supreme Court today. I urge everyone to go and watch them. We're going to be talking to Julie Kelly a little bit about it. But what was very interesting to me was that the Solicitor General for the Biden administration, okay, Elizabeth Pregar, what did she formally do? What was her former Prelegar? Elizabeth Prelegar, what was her former profession? Oh, yes, she was an assistant solicitor general, of course. But prior to that, she was on the Mueller investigation. What was Sarbanes-Oxley, the original law that all of this is about, this obstruction law, and we're going to get into all this, don't worry. What was that written for? The Enron case. What do all of these things have in common? Andrew Weissman. The Weissman clique. She was part of it. The law was part of it. Why was this obstruction law written so broadly? I'll tell you why. It was to empower the Department of Justice into a super prosecutorial body, whereby in they knew that they were writing overbroad laws to be able to go after anyone they wanted to for anything they deemed necessary. It was about persecuting political opponents. It was always about this. And even decades ago, people said, why are you writing laws like this? Why are you passing laws that are so broad? Why are you giving the Department of Justice and why are you giving prosecutors so many powers? Folks, we're seeing the answers now. This is a legal legacy that's been in place for 20 years or more in the United States. They've had these laws on the books because it gives the Department of Justice more power to go after anyone in an overbroad fashion in order to do exactly this. It was a contingency plan that just in case the people of this country got out of hand, decided that they want to go in a different direction than the uniparty regime, that they themselves would face prosecution. That's why January 6th has become an inverse storming of the Bastille, as we write about in the book Unhumans. Kenny Cody will join us next from Human Events. You need to pay attention, folks. You think lawfare is not, you're not interested in lawfare, but lawfare might be interested in you. Pre-order town. Pre-order Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Far, but I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside. For this book called Unhumans, I just can't hide.
Jack Posobiec here, live, Human Events Daily. Folks, we can see what's going on. The world is quickly descending into chaos, and the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Now, whether it's another pandemic or something closer to home, preparedness is no longer an option, it's a necessity. That is where the wellness company comes in. Look, from something innocent and natural like a tick bite to COVID to the next bioweapon manufactured in a lab, the wellness company's medical emergency kit is what you need to be prepared. This contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, a Z-Pak, so much more, as well as a guidebook to aid in the safe use of these life-saving medications. The wellness company and their doctors, including Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Drew Pinsky, Dr. Robert Seek, and many more are medical professionals that you can trust. Rest assured knowing that you're ready for whatever globalists throw at us next. To order, just go to twc.health/poso. That's twc.health/poso and enter promo code POSO for 10% off. The wellness company and their licensed doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their medical emergency kits are the gold standard in keeping you safe. Again, that's twc.health/poso, promo code POSO for 10% off. See the site for details. Prescription may be required. Folks, we need to understand what's really going on with this lawfare, because the lawfare has direct effects on families. Lawfare has direct effects on the people involved, has direct effects on the lives involved. Kenny Cody joins us now from humanevents.com, where he's a columnist. Kenny, when you're looking out at this case, and not even to get into the Jan 6 stuff yet, but just with the case for President Trump, we already know that President Trump has been barred. This just came out this morning, that Trump has been denied his request to leave court in New York so that he can attend a hearing at the Supreme Court regarding presidential immunity. And also that the judge has yet to rule, but is considering saying that Trump won't even be allowed to attend his son Barron's high school graduation. Kenny, what are we to make of all this?
It's an attempt at embarrassment and political weaponization by our judicial system. Plain and simple, it's targeting a political opponent for the purpose of embarrassing the president, keeping him from his family, keeping him from his friends, keeping him from campaigning for the general election against Joe Biden. I mean, it's a blatant show. It's a PR public relations scam that the judicial system in New York and all over the country and every single presidential trial that President Trump's going through right now, it's all just a show. I mean, to deny him from going to Barron Trump's high school graduation is nothing but saying, ha ha, look what we can do to you. And I think that all of America First and MAGA and all of the Republican voters should realize and see what they're doing. I mean, this isn't anything that should be regular. This should be in the normal society. This isn't anything that is normal. This isn't how our judicial system is supposed to work. This isn't how our justice system is supposed to work. To bar a former president from attending his own high school son's graduation is insanity, it's tyrannical, and it's unhuman. I think that we have to acknowledge that this is nothing but a weaponization of the judicial system by the DOJ, by the State Department, by those that are in power to weaken a presidential and political opponent of the far-left progressives that are currently in the country. And we have to come to terms that this is what we are up against. We have to identify that President Trump is the only man standing in the way of 4 more years of this nonsense, 4 more years of tyranny under Joe Biden, and the shadow puppets that control his administration. We have got to acknowledge now that this is nothing but a show and an attempted embarrassment by the mainstream media, by the judicial system, and by Biden's DOJ to go after the president.
Well, and what's so interesting to me, too, as well, is that when we look at the overlay of when this trial is supposed to take place, we find that it's going to go all the way into June. And President Trump being told that he has to be there as much as possible. So talk to me a little bit about the political ramifications of that. So he's on trial in New York City, but also he's campaigning for the presidency at the same time. He's being told that he has to attend court every single day of the trial. What does that mean? Does that mean he can only hold rallies on the weekends, that he can only hold rallies in the evenings or something like this? Meanwhile, of course, we know Joe Biden isn't going to be holding rallies at all. Kenny, what do you make of this?
Well, it's just robbing Trump's ability to hold the rallies that got him the presidency in the first place. I mean, the energetic rallies that President Trump conducted in 2015 and 2016 are one of the reasons that he won. It's the energy and bringing out voters that had never voted before and never been Republicans before he was the president or the Republican nominee for president of the United States, both in 2016 and 2020. So they know that this is the only thing that they can really weaken is getting out to these swing states, getting out to the states that he needs to be present in, holding rallies in. I'm glad he's going to be in North Carolina this weekend. I'm glad that he's being able to do as many rallies as he can, but this is going to take some sort of interference either on the for the judiciary system, his own legal team. I mean, this cannot stand. He cannot be there every single day on a bogus trial led by Alvin Bragg, led by New York bureaucrats that are just simply trying to weaken the president for his general election chance against Joe Biden. And Jack, just you watch. I will make a promise right now. Donald Trump is elected president of the United States, every one of these lawsuits would be dropped because solely the only reason that any of these lawsuits are being brought, whether it's the January 6th case, whether it is the fraud case, whatever it might be, this is the only reason that they are going after this man is to weaken his case to be the next president of the United States. If he is just a normal private citizen, these same charges are going, none of these cases have any standing. The cases would be dropped, and as soon as he is elected president, they will no longer care, because at first he'll more likely have presidential immunity, and second, he will not no longer hit the goal of getting him out to be in the president is no longer. If he is president, every goal that they have set these trials in New York, in Washington, in Georgia or wherever, all of these cases are solely to prevent him from being president for no other reason but that. And as soon as you see he's going to be the next president, and when he is elected in November, all these cases will be dropped, and they will never be talked about again, because that has been the motivation the entire time, is to keep him and prevent him from being the president of the United States. And we have to realize that, we have to embrace it, and we have to ensure that that happens. We've got to ensure that he's the next president, so the judicial weaponization can be out the window, Biden's DOJ is weakened, and moreover than anything else, and just sitting in the future president for future elections, we have to ensure that President Trump is elected so there is no longer any political weaponization by the judicial system, by the DOJ, by the political opponents or what have you, because this is the most unfair usage of appointed positions, the judiciary, and bureaucracy in the history of the United States. It is a deep state movement. To use a phrase that you have been using often, an unhuman movement. And we have to ensure that he gets this win and that we go out in droves in the grassroots for him into the places he cannot be. We have got to stand up and work for him and advocate for him on his behalf while he is sitting in trial and sitting in a courtroom.
And Kenny, look, we don't know yet whether or not President Trump will be barred from this graduation, but of course, lots of leftists are calling for this. And this is what I've said. The idea that you would ban someone from going to his own son's high school graduation, something that he and Barron, and you could tell he's very upset about this, talking about it at length, and you could see it in his eyes. He was very personally upset and really disturbed by this, that this was something that he and his son had talked about for years, that they had worked hard for, that he'd been working with his son to achieve. That's not just a regular news story. That's a milestone. And he robbing a father and son of their milestones, of those life moments. As you say, take the politics out of it and think if it's just a normal person. This is exactly why we use the word unhuman, because there aren't any other words for it. You're doing this out of spite. You're doing this to this family out of hatred, out of petty resentment and cruelty. The cruelty is the point. Banning him from a graduation would be the point, because it is cruel. That is why we call them unhuman. And I'm sick of people, you know, they're so upset that we use those words. I say, what other words would apply to the situation than when we see somebody acting in such an unhuman manner? It's evil, and we're sick and tired of calling it out, and we're not going to play nice anymore.
Well, and doesn't Barron Trump deserve this? I mean, with his, it being his son, and him and Melania's only son, the only child that has lived through the Trump presidency, lived in the White House. You know, all of his other children are grown up, they're older. He is the one that has lived through the attacks on his father and the attacks on his family. Donald Trump deserves to go to Barron Trump's graduation, but moreover, Barron Trump deserves Donald Trump to be attending his graduation. Through everything that he has been through everything Melania and President Trump have been through, this family deserves a set of closure. They deserve a family celebration to get away from the politics, to get away from the judicial weaponization towards this family. They deserve a moment of celebration that is outside politics, that is outside the mainstream media, that is outside his celebrity. For once, I just wish that the judicial system said, hey, you don't have to be here. We can do one trial day, and that could absolutely happen. Okay, and I hope people realize that this is not a forced thing. This happens all of the time in normal judiciaries when it isn't politically motivated. They allow people to go to funerals. They allow people in jail to sometimes attend funerals, let alone somebody who is currently on a criminal trial. Okay, so this family deserves this. This family deserves this celebration. This family deserves this unification before he is about to go through another presidential election, and while he is going through these trials, for this family to have a moment of closure, this family to have a moment of peace. And the judicial system hates him so bad, and the progressive left and the bureaucracy and the deep state hate him so bad that they're not even going to allow this to happen, or they're going to try to attempt to allow this to happen. Like you said, it's not official yet, but this is the attempt by the far left, and this is the attempt by those in power to literally just make a show. And I hope that the American people can see for this for what it is. This, Kenny, is a PR show.
100%. Kenny, where can people go follow you?
At Katie Cody TN on Twitter and True Social, and Muckrack Kenny Cody for all my articles.
Make sure you check him out, humanevents.com. Folks, Kenny Cody, we love having him on. Right back next. Julie Kelly and possibly Steve.
I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. It's in a mystery, the hidden tales of the communist history. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-order in line.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. As promised, we've got the great Julie Kelly on with us now. We're going to talk a little bit about what went down at the Supreme Court today. Julie Kelly, I got to say, my view of it looks like the DOJ is not going to get what they wanted out of this obstruction case. And who was the first person that told me that about DOJ? I didn't even know about this. DOJ, you know, 15 code, 1512C. Well, that was Julie Kelly, C2.
Well, thank you, Jack. And as I posted today on Twitter, X, I have been covering this for more than 3 years. My first article about the DOJ's weaponization of 1512C2, I wrote back in March of 2021 after yet another J6er faced an FBI armed raid for his involvement in January 6th. So it was very gratifying today to have to listen to U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Preligar on behalf of the Biden regime and DOJ try to defend the selective and very vague, broad application of this little small subsection of the Criminal Code 1512, which has to do with tampering with evidence or witnesses. So what the DOJ has done, and as you know, Jack, this was an Andrew Weissman, Robert Mueller specialty, 1512C2 represented about half of the Mueller report. They have been trying desperately to weaponize this vague, broad statute to criminalize various political behavior. And they have succeeded in the DC federal courthouse. At least 17 DC judges, district and appellate court judges, have upheld how the DOJ has applied this only to January 6 protesters. So that was just one of the other revelations, really confirmations that came out of oral arguments today, is the selective use of this 1512C2 post-Enron obstruction statute only in J6 cases, not just now, but as Elizabeth Preligar said quite concisely and succinctly, that this would not apply to other protests that we've seen recently or that we see ongoing right now, even in Washington, D.C.
Well, and Julie, I just looking at the background of Preligar as pertains to 1512C2, that Preligar herself, what was her first clerkship, was for Merrick Garland when he was on the U.S. Appeals Court for D.C. And then after that, what was she detailed to when she became an assistant solicitor general? She was detailed to the Mueller investigation. She was one of the Mueller investigation investigators under Andrew Weissman. It's like this Weissman clique just can't seem, you know, every time you turn around, you find another member of them. It all goes back. And you and I have been talking on Rav and other shows about this for years. It all goes back to this one guy and this one group of people who, and I think we're seeing this, it comes out of the Enron situation, mm-hmm. that 1812C2 or 1512C2. And I have this article that I pulled up from Vanderbilt Law 2 decades ago, all the way back in 2004, all about 18 U.S. Code 1512C. And I'm going to read to it right now. This is not Julie Kelly. This is not Jack Posobiec. Right here. Due to ambiguous language and loose construction of similar provisions of the federal code, it exhibits a particular propensity towards direct abuse and inefficient and costly indirect effects. It was written from the start for abuse. That's what it seems like.
It was. And when I did my first research on this back in March of 2021, digging into the statute, George W. Bush, when he signed this as part of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act 2002, specifically said that this should not be used against political protesters or in the aftermath of a political protest. Of course, his words have no weight now. But just like you said about Elizabeth Preligar, which I didn't know till we spoke earlier today, that she is a Mueller loyalist. And of course, an Andrew Weissman loyalist. So this 1512C2 is a Weissman specialty. And also, who else was involved in the Enron task force? Lisa Monaco, who is now the Deputy Attorney General, greenlighting and probably the one who initiated the use of 1512C2 against more than 350 January 6 protesters, most of whom engaged in no violence whatsoever, and many of whom who entered the building or Capitol grounds after the joint session recessed at about 2:20 on January 6. So, to your point, at least a majority of the justices seemed very skeptical about the selective use of 1512C2, the government's intentionally misinterpretation of the language, carving this out of the criminal code that deals with evidence and witness tampering to criminalize political dissent, again, only for those who protested a few hours on January 6th, not anyone in the past. And as she indicated, no one in the future will be held accountable or face possible prosecution for this felony, punishable by up to 20 years in prison.
Well, and this is really what it comes down to. I know you have a hard break here, but it comes down to, was 1512, were the framers of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act writing about congressional proceedings, or were they talking about criminal proceedings. And just because Weissman or whoever was able to slip this line into a law way deep buried into the bowels of this thing as a sort of catch-all for any crime they wanted to go after, that doesn't mean that it's written properly. And now we have a Supreme Court that can actually do something about it. Last word, Julie Kelly.
Let's hope that they do. They really need to curtail DOJ's use of this statute, really reverse it, and make sure, put an end to the abuse of this permanently in the future, so we don't head down the slippery slope of using vague obstruction statutes or anything else to turn otherwise, you know, lawfully political protesters into lifelong felons and put them behind bars.
God bless. Julie Kelly, where can people follow you?
At Declassified with Julie Kelly on Substack, also Real Clear Investigations, and of course, X Twitter, Julie_Kelly2.
The great Julie Kelly. Take care. I know you got to run for a hit. Look, folks, we need to everyone needs to understand that this has been a junta, an absolute junta that the Department of Justice has been operating under for almost two decades now. Almost two decades. The idea that you would have people that were writing these or working these subsections, working these lines into statutes, writing them vaguely, putting these laws in there, is something that I think the conservatives have missed for a long time. I think that conservatives have been asleep at the wheel when it comes to this, obviously a lot of things. And it's something where we have the ability now with the Supreme Court that Donald Trump appointed, that we can actually do something about it. Because you and I, here in Human Events, we can argue about these laws, we can argue about the meaning of it. Mike Davis is going to join us in a second, because lawfare is the name of the game, and we are going to face it head on. We're absolutely going to face it head on. But we're also going to see is how do we defeat it? And so there's an issue with lawfare, right? Because if we're not in control of Congress enough to pass a law or get the president to sign the law, there's nothing you can do about it. This thing that Johnson wants to put up, this oh, we're going to stop the illegals from voting. Yeah, that's great. Joe Biden's never going to sign that, okay? That's never going to sign that. That's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And then Johnson betrayed everybody on FISA anyway, so the guy's got no credibility. Then what do you have? You have a system whereby in the only way to take corrective action against lawfare is to go after these crooked laws to begin with. And the way to do that is to bring these cases to the Supreme Court so the Supreme Court can begin striking them down. Strike down all of them. Find the laws that, remember, they wanted to use this against Trump during Russiagate because they were trying to say that Trump had obstructed the Russiagate investigation. That at least was a criminal investigation. But again, this was all done to give more power to the Department of Justice. That's why Elizabeth Preligar's there. That's why, look, she worked directly under Merrick Garland. Then she worked directly under Weissman on the Mueller investigation. How obvious do we have to make this? How blind do you have to be to the actual situation? It's all the same people. Follow the names. Weissman, Mueller, Weissman, Garland. It's so obvious when you put it all together. This is what they do. And so when we explain that lawfare is there, we can also point out that having the ability to take this to the Supreme Court and have a Supreme Court, by the way, not come in this from a partisan perspective. We're not calling for the Supreme Court to be partisan. What we're calling for the Supreme Court to do is to be constitutional. And under the Constitution, you can't have overbroad laws. You can't have laws that are written to give these, to turn prosecutors into grand inquisitors like they did under Weissman, like they did under Mueller. No, we don't have grand inquisitions in this country. We do what we're not supposed to, is the point. Strike it all down. Now you have the ability at the Supreme Court, and I would say this is going to be at least 5-4, and they're going to rule on this. And not only is it going to help the Jan 6ers, it's going to help President Trump, because the Jan 6 case is about to be gutted. Folks, I got to tell you, for 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team over there have been great supporters of Human Events Daily. That's why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same great coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. So keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/POSO. Get free activation when you use promo code POSO. Join me. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/POSO. That is patriotmobile.com/POSO. We will be right back with Mike Davis. Human Events Daily continues.
This book called Unhumans, I just can't hide. Tells a story of secrets and a mystery. The hidden tales of the communist history. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-ordering loves you, man. Can't wait to get my hands on that book. Gonna dive into its pages, take a closer look.
All right, Jack Posobiec here, live, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. The lawfare is exploding across the nation. So from Washington, D.C., where we sit with the Supreme Court, we now go New York City. Mike Davis is up there to give us a quick update on the lawfare against President Trump. Mike, let me see if I have this correct. They had to excuse half of the potential jury pool, 50% of the jury pool. At least they were honest. So that means at least 50% were honest and said that they couldn't be fair regarding President Trump. But there's still another 50% where I'm not so sure how honest they are. What's going on?
Yeah, we have this Manhattan jury pool, Jack. What, that's 2 million people and they voted 85% for Joe Biden. You have this Soros-funded Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, who campaigned on getting Trump. You have this, Matthew Colangelo getting deployed from the Biden Justice Department, a senior political appointee in the Biden Justice Department, the number three in the Biden Justice Department. You have this Manhattan Democrat judge, Juan Merchan, who donated to Biden in 2020 and another anti-Trump group. His adult daughter, Lauren Merchan, is one of the Democrats' leading fundraisers. She's worked for Biden, Harris, Adam Schiff, other Democrats. She's raised over $100 million or around $100 million off this criminal trial over which her father is presiding. She has a financial stake in this criminal prosecution. This judge clearly should have recused. Even a former federal judge appointed by Bill Clinton in New York came out on CNN on April 5th on Caitlin Collins' show and said that Juan Merchan, this biased Democrat judge, should have recused. There's no chance that President Trump is going to get a fair trial. You can just expect that a stacked jury of left-wing operatives are going to find Trump guilty of this non-crime of paying off a nuisance claim, a bookkeeping misdemeanor at best, which I don't even think it's a misdemeanor, but it's a bookkeeping misdemeanor at best that's time-barred. This allegedly happened like 7 years ago. In 2017, they said that Trump changed the books, and that was a bookkeeping misdemeanor that somehow he's trying to influence the 2016 election with what he did in 2017, which is just insane on its face. The prior Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, the Manhattan U.S. attorney, the Federal Election Commission, and Bragg himself declined to prosecute this bogus legal theory until Colangelo came from the Biden Justice Department and resurrected this zombie case, the first criminal indictment and trial ever against a former president. They waited 30 months to bring these charges, and they timed this criminal trial to happen right now during the height of the presidential campaign in 2024. They want Trump in a courtroom instead of on the campaign trail. And this Democrat judge threatened Trump and said that if he was not in the courtroom, he could be sent to jail. Even implied that he's not going to let Trump go to his son Barron's high school graduation. This is obvious Democrat lawfare and election interference. And frankly, Jack, as we've discussed, this is a criminal conspiracy under our federal criminal laws to violate President Trump's civil rights. And when President Trump is back into the White House on January 20th, 2025, the Trump 47 Justice Department must open a criminal probe on this very dangerous criminal conspiracy to violate Trump's civil rights and to interfere in the election. These are republic-ending tactics by these Democrats. It's lawfare on many fronts.
McDavis, what is the we're told that there was a motion from Bragg on three counts of contempt of court against President Trump. This is regarding the gag order. Can you walk us through how that works? And let's say the judge decides to grant it, what would come next?
So this Alvin Bragg and Matthew Colangelo, these Democrat operatives, went to this Democrat judge, Juan Merchan, this anti-Trump, pro-Biden judge, and they put this illegal, unconstitutional gag order on Trump as a criminal defendant, saying that he can't essentially speak out about the witnesses, about Matthew Colangelo, about Lauren Merchan's financial stake in this criminal prosecution, and this judge's clear bias, or at least the appearance of bias that requires his recusal, according to this Clinton judge. And so they put this unconstitutional gag order on Trump, and now they're threatening to hold Trump in contempt for violating this gag order, for retruthing a video that was critical or that pointed out these facts that Trump's not allowed to speak out about, when this is just clearly unconstitutional. You put a gag order in a criminal case to protect the criminal defendants, not to muzzle the criminal defendant. If anyone must have the constitutional right to speak out about against the judge, the prosecutor, the witnesses, the staff, their biases, their motives, the process, it is a criminal defendant going through a criminal process. It is truly third world Marxist hellhole tactics to put a gag order on a criminal defendant. If the criminal defendant is threatening the judge or threatening the witnesses, you can charge him with obstruction of justice or witness tampering. You don't put a vague and overbroad gag order on him, which is a prior restraint on his First, Sixth, and 14th Amendment rights. This is clearly unconstitutional.
So then walk me through is this a fine, or could this potentially be, and I asked you this question yesterday, we've all seen in the movies, you know, My Cousin Vinny, he gets thrown on the bus when he's held in contempt because he doesn't wear the right, you know, the right suit when he's told to. Is this something where Judge Merchan could actually hold President Trump in contempt and make him spend a night in jail behind bars, like you said yesterday?
There's no doubt in my mind that the goal of this Soros-funded Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, this former senior Justice Department political appointee, Matthew Colangelo, and this Democrat Manhattan judge, Juan Merchan, their goal is to put President Trump in prison. And they will put him in jail for contempt. They will put him in jail if he doesn't show up to court one day. They'll put him in jail if he goes to his son Barron's high school graduation. And at the end of this bogus trial for these non-crimes, these non-felonies, they're absolutely going to try to put President Trump in prison. They're already threatening to put him in jail if he doesn't show up every day for the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, however long it takes to finish this trial, to keep President Trump off the campaign trail.
And that's stunning. The idea that a Truth Social post in the middle of a trial could actually put someone behind bars while I have to jump back every once in a while and say this, while he's not just on trial, he's also running for president of the United States. And last I checked, the Real Clear Politics average has him at number one.
Yeah, this is truly stunning and outrageous that this is happening in the United States of America. These Democrat prosecutors, these Democrat judges, these Democrat witnesses, these Democrat operatives, they are destroying our legal system to get Trump. We're not going to be able to come back from this. These are republic-ending tactics by these Democrat operatives. Remember, this is how the Roman Republic fell. It was the lawfare by the Roman insiders against Caesar that caused him to cross the Rubicon from Gaul into Rome, and it led to the fall of the Roman Republic. And I'm not saying we're going into a civil war in America, but what I'm saying is this is going to lead to a legal tit for tat between the parties and destroy our country. Does anyone really think that Trump's going to turn the other cheek when he gets back into the White House? Hell no, and he shouldn't.
No, he shouldn't. In fact, I've argued, and we've got the book on humans coming out soon, where the way out of lawfare specifically, the way out of all of this, but also lawfare specifically, is reciprocity. An older code of justice that we used to call lex talionis. That means an eye for an eye. Hammurabi understood this 5,000 years ago, and it was simple, right? That which is done to us must be done to them. And in fact, the eye for the eye is the basis for all civilization, because this keeps everyone in check. So if one side has gone completely out of whack, then the other side is incumbent, is forced to, is duty bound to come in and bring some of the pressure back, else all of society is going to be completely upended. And every time Viceroy Davis has a comment about this, Media Matters blows a gasket. Last comment, we got a quick break.
I would say you're 100% right. And it's, I call it the dead chicken strategy. And guess what? Yes. You have to use the legal system to go after this criminal conspiracy to violate Trump's civil rights and to interfere in the election. If you don't do it, this will never end. As you said very correctly, Jack, in order to stop these Republican-ending tactics, you need to give these leftists a healthy dose of their own medicine.
All right, folks, we'll be right back here. Human Events Daily continues.
But I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside, for this book called Unhumans I just can't hide.
All right, Jeff, so we're back live. Human Events Daily, we're on with Mike Davis. Mike, I got to ask you also, oral arguments at Double Duty, man. You got to pull it, but hey, man, that's the card you pulled. You chose this life, right? I didn't choose the streets. The streets chose me. That's what Mike Davis says every morning when he looks in the mirror. The Supreme Court oral arguments. So we have this Elizabeth Prelgar, who goes up and is arguing before the Supreme Court regarding this 1512C2, and says, and is trying to give some argument to Gorsuch, and says, well, you know, why? And because he rightfully asked the question, why wouldn't this apply to Antifa at the federal courthouse? Why wouldn't it apply to Kavanaugh protesters? Why wouldn't it apply to the protesters blocking the Golden Gate Bridge? What was your take on her performance today?
It was embarrassing. I mean, she is a Democrat operative. She clerked for then Judge Garland on the D.C. circuit. Didn't she work for the Mueller probe? I mean, she's a political operative in the SG's office, and that's unfortunate. You want people in that job who are very credible with the Supreme Court. If you listen to her response to Justice Gorsuch, my former boss's line of questioning, she was talking over him. She couldn't answer his questions clearly. She sounded political, and she proved the point of these January 6th defendants, that this law that the Biden Justice Department, from a post-Enron statute on obstruction, basically for shredding documents, the Biden Justice Department has took that vague and overbroad criminal statute and politicized it and weaponized it against Trump and Trump's January 6th supporters. And then she danced around on whether she could use that statute, or the government could use that statute against BLM and Antifa and left-wing activists. So the government, the Biden Justice Department, essentially told the Supreme Court today its clear position that if the Biden Justice Department disagrees with the viewpoints of the criminal defendants, they can use this vague and overbroad obstruction statute to go after them. And if the Biden Justice Department agrees with the criminal defendant, they won't. It's that simple.
And that's I went through and kind of chaptered out in the beginning of the show here today, explained how this 1512C2 and really all of 1512 and a lot of Sarbanes-Oxley, this Enron investigation that we're talking about, was the fact that the matter was that was all run by Andrew Weissman and the Weissman clique as well. So this is something that goes back over 20 years. Vanderbilt Law, I just found very quickly, had journals that were slamming this thing as overbroad 20 years ago. and calling this out. These are not partisan in any way, but basically what it seems like that this 1512 did, and it's something that clearly Weissmann was hanging his hat on, because half of the Mueller report, for folks who want to go back and read it, humanevents.com, we have a fantastic piece on it. Half of the Mueller report was about 1512C2. They put it there on purpose because they knew it was overbroad, so that they could use it to go after political opponents or just anyone they wanted. That's why you see the Weissmann click over and over and over again. That's my look on it. What do you think?
I agree with you. And I'll tell you what, Julie Kelly deserves so much credit for exposing this corruption of this federal criminal statute by these Biden prosecutors and these DC judges appointed by both Democrat and Republican presidents. They are despicable, what they have done to these January 6th defendants, where they know that they have politicized and weaponized our criminal justice system to go after these January 6th defendants. What happened on January 6th was a lawful protest permitted by the National Park Service that got out of control and devolved into a riot. And there were three categories of people there that day. There were people who were there peacefully, and even if you disagree with them, even if you hate them, they have a First Amendment right to be there. There were the people who trespassed, who should have been charged with trespass, and then there were people who were violent and they should be charged more severely. But to lump them all together and call them insurrectionists, even though they went unarmed into the nation's capital, and then try to throw the book at them, try to put them in prison with this statute that, you know, up to 20 years in prison. This is disgusting what they've done. This is un-American. This is unacceptable what has happened to these January 6th defendants. And I'm hearing these federal judges and these prosecutors trying to come up with ways to continue to punish these defendants, even after they know the Supreme Court's going to reverse these convictions, and come up with ways to keep them in prison as if the Supreme Court didn't reverse these 1512 convictions, and come up with new ways to punish these defendants, even going after Trump. They're saying that somehow, even though two of Jack Smith's four charges against Trump are based on 1512, to say that, oh, it doesn't matter if the Supreme Court reverses, we're going to still go after Trump. What the Supreme Court needs to do is just strike this whole damn statute, because it's overbroad, it's vague, it's been politicized, it's been weaponized. It's unconstitutional how it's been used against Trump and his supporters.
And that's really where it comes down to, is that it's finally bitten off more than you can chew. And, you know, the guys over at Enron weren't exactly the most sympathetic. I think the country was able to go after them. But many people have pointed out that what was done to them and Arthur Anderson and some of the other individuals there went far beyond the remit of law, and simply just started destroying companies just for the heck of it. And there were lots of companies that were engaged in this type of activity that they didn't go after. And so what it was really about, I think, and it seems to me, it was about granting more power to the Department of Justice so that they could go on these witch hunts. And now it's gotten to the point where they've decided to use it on Donald Trump and his supporters, because he represents a threat to them.
Yeah, and it's Andrew Weissmann, who's the biggest scumbag in the Department of Justice, probably in the Department of Justice's history, who drove a lot of this stuff. He was on that Enron task force. And I would say this, look, you can't go after Trump supporters on January 6th and then turn right around and let the much more deadly, the much more dangerous, the much more destructive BLM and Antifa rioters out of prison, give them amnesty. These Hamas supporters who are terrorizing Jewish Americans all across America. You can't have a politicized and weaponized justice system. You can't use a criminal statute, a vague and overbroad criminal statute, to go after your political enemies and then coddle your political friends. That is how our country will fail. And that is unacceptable, and the Supreme Court should smack them down very forcefully.
Amen. Everyone, you must go follow Mike Davis. Support the Article 3 Project, hardest working lawyer on Capitol Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, lawfare is the name of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another mission, so lay short. When the pre-order town, pre-order town.